Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a whole blueprint of sources on a topic that a lot of you deal with, optimizing your rental property listings.
That's right. Our mission today is pretty surgical. We want to forge a reliable, repeatable process for you to find high-quality tenants fast.
And cut down on all that friction that, you know, always seems to be part of the leasing process.
Exactly. We know if you're a landlord, an agent, or a property manager, you already know the basics. How to take a photo, how to post something online. The goal here is to refine that strategy.
It's not just about posting, it's about winning the best renter's attention.
Right, using data, using strategy, and moving beyond just going through the motions.
Okay, let's unpack this. Where do we even start? It seems like the first decisions are the most fundamental.
They are. It all starts with timing and price. Get those wrong, and the rest of the process is an uphill battle.
So let's talk timing. It's something people, I think, often overlook.
They do, and it dictates the size and quality of your applicant pool. The data is really consistent on this. If you're aiming for a broad market, especially families, you want to list in the summer.
Late spring, early summer.
That's the sweet spot. You just capture the highest concentration of applicants.
And what's driving that? Is it just the weather?
It's mostly logistical. Families really try to avoid moving in the middle of a school year.
Of course, yeah.
And pulling kids out of class or trying to move during the holidays. It's just a major point of friction. So if you list in, say, late fall or winter, your pool of applicants just shrinks dramatically.
You get less choice and probably not the best leads, I'd imagine.
That's usually what happens. So if you can plan for that late spring launch, you absolutely should.
Okay, so that's market timing. What about personal timing? Patience, I guess.
Absolutely. The sources really stress this. Finding a great tenant is not a one-week job. You just can't rush it.
So how long should you give yourself?
You should plan for about 4 to 6 weeks. That gives you enough time to build up a decent pool of applicants, do your pre-screening properly, and not feel pressured.
Right, because if you rush, the short-term win is just going to get eaten up by the long-term cost of a bad tenant.
Almost every time.
So, beyond timing, the sources get into this idea of being your own business blocker. What's that about?
This is a huge one. It's about doing a customer experience audit on yourself. The data is kind of alarming. Something like 68% of apartment communities actively, though unintentionally, make it harder for renters to contact them.
68%? Wow.
Think about that. Two-thirds of the market are accidentally turning away business.
So how do you fix that? What's the foundation?
It starts with something the sources call a federated NAP.
Okay, that sounds a little jargony. Break that down for me. What does that mean for, you know, a small landlord?
It just stands for name, address, and phone number. Federated means that exact information has to be perfectly consistent everywhere online.
You mean like on ZillowandApartments.com?
Not just there. Google Business Profile, Apple Maps, Yelp, all those 100-plus sites that search engines crawl. Even a tiny difference, like using apartments on one site and apps on another.
Ah, okay.
It just erodes trust with the search engines and hurts your visibility. Inconsistencies will kill you.
It's like having three different price tags on the same item in a store.
Precisely. And this goes for your website, too. Your phone number has to be obvious. Upper right corner on a desktop, upper middle on mobile. No hunting.
But having the number there is one thing. What happens when someone actually calls?
This is where you have to do the audit.
Uh-huh.
The rule is simple. A live person answers within three rings.
A live person, not a phone tree.
Never a phone tree. And here's a technical trap a lot of people fall into. Call tracking software.
The software that's supposed to help but actually hurts.
It can. A lot of these systems add a few silent rings on the caller's end while the tracking kicks in. So the agent thinks they answered on the first ring, but the renter has heard 8 rings and already hung up.
Oh, that's brutal. So you have to call yourself anonymously to see what the experience is really like.
It's the only way to catch that kind of friction.
Okay, that is super practical advice. Let's shift gears from accessibility to the money, the rent price. How do we stop guessing and start using data to find that sweet spot?
We start by avoiding the most common mistake, setting rent based on your expenses plus whatever profit you want.
That's not how it works.
The market doesn't care about your mortgage. Market rent is defined by one thing. What similar available properties in your area are getting right now. It's what people are willing to pay.
So you're reverse engineering the price from the competition. What tools should we be using for that?
You need a mix of tools. Start with Zillow Rent, Rentometer, Rentcast, maybe BiggerPockets Estimator to get a baseline.
Sure.
But then you have to check the actual live listings.
On Craigslist, local classifieds.
Exactly. And you have to be comparing apples to apples, same square footage, same bed and bath count. When you do that, you'll find the rates are incredibly tight, usually within like a $25 to $50 range.
And that leads right into this pricing trick you mentioned, the $5 strategy.
It's so effective because it plays on how people use search filters.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of listing it, say, $2,500.
You list it $2,495?
Exactly. Because when a renter sets their filter for max price $2,500, your $2,495 listing shows up. If you priced it at $2,500 on the dot, you might be excluded from that specific search.
That's kind of genius. It's a tiny discount for a huge potential increase in exposure.
That's the idea.
Let me push back on that for a second, though. Does listing just under the $100 mark ever look, I don't know, a bit desperate or cheap?
That's a fair question. But in these high-volume digital marketplaces, the extra exposure almost always outweighs that small psychological risk.
Right.
The sheer number of extra people who see your property is worth it. And honestly, renting it a week faster because of that exposure saves you way more in vacancy costs than the $5 a month you lost.
That makes sense. The market is the final judge. So if we price a little high and the phone isn't ringing, how long do we wait to adjust?
The market tells you pretty quickly. If you're not getting consistent quality inquiries in the first 30 days, your price is too high, period.
And the adjustment is just a small drop.
Yep. A modest $25 or $50 drop is usually enough to get the listing into that median range and start generating interest.
What about unique features or value adds, as the sources call them? How do we price those in?
It really depends on the feature. Something that generates income, like a separate mother-in-law apartment with its own entrance, that can legitimately increase the total rent.
Because it's a quantifiable financial benefit.
Right. But other things, like a nice fenced-in backyard, they're highly desirable. But they might not raise the rent amount by $200. What they do is increase the perceived value and the speed of the rental. It helps you win the tiebreaker.
Got it. Okay, so we've nailed the timing and the price. Now, where do we actually list? Where should we focus for maximum reach?
You have to saturate the main platforms. It's kind of a non-negotiable list. Zillow, which also sends your listing to Trulia and Hotpads.
That's the big one.
For sure. Then Apartments.com, which covers ForRent and Apartment Finder. And then you have Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, Realtor.com, Zumper, and Dwellzy. Those are the big free or low-cost ones.
But the sources also pointed out this huge strategic blind spot that so many properties have, this idea of giving away their traffic. What's reclaiming traffic sovereignty?
It means that when a renter searches Google for, say, two-bedroom apartment in Silver Lake, they are looking for your property. But because your own web presence isn't optimized, Google sends them to a big listing site instead.
And then you have to pay that site to get your own customer back.
You are literally paying to buy back traffic that should have been yours to begin with.
So how does a smaller landlord even start to compete with the big guys on Google?
It starts with local SEO. First, that federated NIP we talked about, and a perfectly updated Google business profile. Second, you have to understand the exact keywords renters are using in your area.
So it's not just apartment for rent?
No. Are they searching for rental houses with garage? Or pet-friendly rentals near the university? You need to know.
That sounds like some serious big data, almost like what Amazon does.
It is, but the tools are getting more accessible. Even free tools like SEMrush can give you some basic insights into those local search terms. You need to match your description to the exact way people search.
And before we get to the description itself, we can't forget about just good old-fashioned networking.
Never. A quick text or email to your list, your best contractors, other agents, friends, even your current happy tenants can bring you a fantastic pre-vetted lead before you even post the listing publicly.
Right, referrals are gold. Okay, let's talk about the listing description. It needs to do more than just list facts. It has to really sell the place.
It has two jobs, really. One is to compel them emotionally. The second, which is just as important, is to set clear expectations to weed people out.
You want to weed people out. You're trying to limit the pool.
You're trying to limit the pool to qualified applicants. You have to clearly state the non-negotiables, the price, the deposit, the lease terms, your pet policy. If someone can't meet those, you're saving both of you a ton of time.
A smaller pool of qualified people is better than a huge pool of mismatches.
Always.
So in the description, what are we highlighting?
The unique selling points. What makes your unit different? Good appliances, a private entrance, off-street parking, maybe it's walking distance to a great gym or a big employer. Focus on the benefits to the renter.
And what should we absolutely avoid?
Clichés. Sources are so clear on this. Every agent knows that cozy is just code for small.
Right. The jig is up on cozy.
Totally. Be authentic. And don't waste space repeating the bed and bath count or the square footage. That's already in the dedicated fields on the website.
Speaking of features, the Zillow data gives a really clear picture of what people actually care about.
It does. And two features stand way out. Number one, being pet friendly. A full 35% of renters will pay more for it.
35%? That's huge.
It is. And number two is a designated parking spot. 24% of renters would pay a premium for that. After those, you're looking at an in-unit washer-dryer, high-speed internet, and central air.
That tells you exactly what to lead with in your headline. So what does this all mean for, you know, using modern tools to actually write this stuff?
This is where AI copywriting tools are really starting to make a difference. Traditional descriptions are often very owner-focused. They talk about crown granite counters.
Things the owner paid a lot for, but maybe the renter doesn't care as much about.
Exactly. An AI tool, whether it's a general one like ChatGPT or a specialized app, can help you instantly reframe that language to be tenant-focused.
Shifting from the owner's priorities to the renter's.
Right. And AI can shift the focus to what a renter actually wants to know. Security, lease terms, practical amenities. There are even specialized apps popping up, like one for iOS called Ready Set List, that are built specifically to do this.
And what does an app like that do differently?
It uses AI trained specifically on rental listings to generate descriptions with really strong calls to action. It's designed to create that tenant-focused narrative for you instantly. It helps you move from a boring sales pitch to something that grabs attention.
Okay, so the listing is live, the description is great, and traffic is coming in. Now the job is to sort through that pool.
And pre-screening before you do a single showing is not optional. It's essential.
So using a simple online form?
A Google form works great, or any application software. Just get some basic info. If an applicant refuses to answer a few simple questions before seeing the place, that's a red flag. You should just move on.
And speaking of red flags, what are the classic ones that tell a landlord to just run?
Oh, we've all gotten these calls, right? The overly eager applicant is a big one. Someone who wants to move in today.
Yeah.
Or offers you 6 months rent up front without even seeing the property.
That feels like they're trying to bypass the background check.
It often is. Also, just basic reliability. If someone no-shows for an appointment without calling, that tells you a lot about how they'll likely treat a lease agreement.
Flexibility in showing the property seems to be a big deal now, too.
It is, especially for busy professionals.
Mm-hmm.
If your property is vacant, using a smart lock for self-tours can be a game changer. It lets people see it on their schedule, not yours. And that's a huge convenience.
Makes sense. Okay, last thing. Reputation. Getting those positive reviews.
You can't be passive about it. You have to ask at the perfect moment.
And when is that?
The second they sign the lease. They're never going to be happier with you, the unit, or the process than at that exact moment.
So you ask them right then and there.
Immediately. And keep the request simple. Just say, could you write down the one single thing you liked best about this whole process? That's it. It's a low-effort ask that usually gets you a fantastic review.
That brings us to the end of our deep dive. We've really covered the whole process, from timing the market and setting a data-driven price with that $5 trick,
to ensuring that perfect digital presence with NAP consistency and writing descriptions that really convert, maybe even with some help from AI. The main theme is just reducing friction at every single step for that quality renter.
So here's a final thought for you to take away. If you were to audit your own rental website, your call experience, your entire digital presence as thoroughly as Amazon analyzes its customer traffic, what immediate, maybe non-obvious changes could you make today to position your property to win?
It's a great question.
Challenge yourself to think not just about what you're listing, but how you appear to that digital renter who has more choices than ever. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.